Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, tell us what's going on, man. What's happening in your life? It's been so long since we spoke. Patrick?
Yes.
I'm older.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
He did. He's
You're
his
older.
50th.
Yes, but we're asking about you right now.
I like the way you kind of give that back all the time.
Well, you know, I don't want him to deflect right now. This is your moment, bro.
I mean,
come on, talk to us. What's happening?
You need your cane?
I'm just learning how to love.
Oh, wow.
You've been on this thing for a while, learning how to love.
Don't mess
with
him.
There's nothing else.
Let him focus.
I'm Tracy's loving you right now.
It's the cheap thing. I just got to text him. Leave him alone.
Leave him alone. Leave him alone.
No, I didn't. Good morning, Trace. Well, you know, if you missed the earlier programs, you've got to catch them. We're talking about, you know, God dancing. I know it's kind of, but, you know, and reverently thinking about a relationship with God as our Father and the prodigal Father. And you got to listen to that, get a perspective, because the more you know about how much God loves you, the more you're going to be compelled to love him back in a way which comes out in obedience. But you're compelled by your love for him. When you love, I mean, think about it. When this guy falls in love with this girl, I mean, the first thing he wants to know is, do you like flowers? What kind of flowers do you like? Do you like the saints?
No.
Like,
well,
DVDs?
You will learn.
You will.
Guaranteed.
You like DVD players? What do you like?
Falling truly in love with God, you want to know what God likes. You want to know what he wants because you love him. But if you look at the Bible as a book of rules, a little here, a little there, all that kind of stuff, it's not going to be good because that's not who he is. He's a lover of your soul. He loves you and has a plan for your life. But we're going to be talking about in this program about moderate Islam being an oxymoron. So I remember talking with John Stenberger, and where he's teaching a class in VFNU about the church and the Constitution and all that. And I was just so surprised at his answer. You know, his answer to America's situation was moderate. You know, we had to have moderate Muslims and moderate Christians, and then we can actually have America. But outside of moderate Christians and moderate Islam, you know, we can't, it's not going to work. And it's like a backslidden Muslim and a backslidden Christian is the answer for America.
That's our hope. Really?
Wow.
Yeah. And he had to take off to another meeting. We get a chance to really talk about that. And John's a really good guy. But the thing about it is, really? And so we'll be talking about an interview here today from CBN talking about, somebody who has firsthand knowledge of that and getting a perspective, because God loves Muslims. And, but what does that mean? What does that actually mean? When you say a moderate Christian, you know, what does that mean as well? Plus we'll get a chance to talk about how vulnerable we are as a nation. The truth is that walking outside of God, you know, think about this, just throwing your chest out, throwing your nose up and saying you can do this without God. I mean, it's not going to be good.
Mm-mm.
But when you see a nation doing that, when you see a nation's leaders doing that, and you know, a lot of the churches, not all the church, but a lot of the churches pretty much just left God's way of doing things.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that complicated. Anytime anybody tells you it's complicated, it's not that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
He's God. You're not. This is what he says. That's what you do. It's because he loves you and because you love him.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's not that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And his grace is sufficient. And he, as you go, he shows you. And if you missed the earlier program about dancing with God and understanding these footprints and the sand, you got to hear that. It was just such a powerful analogy of what's going on. But, you know, we're going to be having Youssef, I think it's, is it, who is it?
The son of Hamas?
Yes, the son of Hamas. We'll be talking about him soon. I know we've been talking about him for quite some time. It's amazing.
But it's awesome.
It is so amazing. Yeah. Just trying to get, you know, because we want to dedicate an entire, maybe it could be 3 or 4 programs to that, just so it's all together so you can actually get, because I love his viewpoint about it, because he was a son of, he was a Muslim, a son of Hamas. His dad was a leader in the Muslim Brotherhood. But his dad was passive in the context of the militant response, but yet moderate, and how he knew what happened was going on, the violent part, but he just didn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And he said that's kind of worse than actually being it. So he talked about. And then eventually, long story short, he's a Christian today because he found the love of God. Mm. Think about that, the love of God. And the question he talks about in there, he just says, you know, everybody says, you know, what side is God on? And you have Palestinians saying, you know, God's on our side. And the Jews are saying God's on their side. You know, what's God going to do? Is he going to take over Israel? Is he going to take over, you know, Palestine? Is he going to take over all these different areas? And he goes, God didn't come to take sides. He came to take over.
Hey, and you didn't know, you'll find out.
Yeah. And he came to take over. And that's who he is. Mm-hmm. And all that ground is going to split when his feet touch that mm-hmm. mountain, right? And so we're going to be talking about that today. And I'm looking forward to just exploring the reality of the vulnerability of just the arrogance that, you know, that we can struggle with thinking like, hey, this thing's going to go on forever. Mm-hmm. We're against the coal industry, but we don't realize it's actually the burning of coal that turns the wheel, that causes power to come into your home and charge your little iPhone and stuff. But people don't know how they connect. But in regards to power itself, right?
Yeah. You know, we're talking about that actually during a break about how vulnerable. I mean, I don't know of a time that America has been more vulnerable than it is today, but, mm-hmm. you know, every person has, we totally live exposed all the time. You know what I mean? Everybody has vulnerabilities, and the vulnerability is a weakness. It's an opportunity for you to be hurt, and you're just kind of naked and exposed. And as I was thinking about this and meditating on just what is happening in our country and with mm-hmm. America and all the things that are, you know, around us, I look at, man, we are so vulnerable in our own land. You think about what's happening on the borders and what's happening in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I mean, there people are coming in, you know, all over. And it's not just Mexicans. People come from other countries are going through those borders. You think about the downgrading of our military.
And just our strength.
Out, which is our strength. It's like, oh, my goodness, we're vulnerable, mm-hmm. you know. When you think about our economy and what Russia was saying, Putin was actually saying that he wants to see the American dollar, says, you know, totally removed as the number one currency. Mm-hmm. They want to replace the International Monetary Fund. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Friedman from Game Plan mm-hmm. Says that America thinks we're so arrogant that people actually want our $17 trillion debt money. They want American dollars.
Like, well, he said America is so arrogant.
Yes.
Some thinks they're arrogant.
Yes, is so arrogant. Mm-hmm. You're right.
But he said.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, my goodness. And then you think about that, only 2%.
And he said the reason why they don't want it is because it's so much debt tied to it now. It's in the hole.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want my debt? No, I don't want your debt. If you have some gold, oh, we don't have gold.
But again, America's so arrogant. It's like, yeah, sure you do. Sure you do. You want it. You want it. You want it. Then you think about 2% of the nation actually prepares food for the other 98% of America. Vulnerability here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And now, you know, and what's happening is you've just become so prideful. And pride is basically living a life separate from God, independent, self-reliant. We don't need God anymore.
It's like we're being set up for our consequences, right? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Been set up. When you think about God will show you a king, or he'll show you a president and a dream or a vision. And some people think, well, that's the president or that's the, but actually it can represent the nation that they represent.
That's right.
That, you know, that because I remember God spoke to you specifically, but think about that America's getting set up. She's being set up.
No doubt.
For a fall if we don't, right? Well, pride comes before a fall.
Get ready. I think about James Robinson's word that we have a choice, humility or humiliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Choose. But the only way that, you know, we all have these vulnerabilities. The only way we can survive this is by being humble and being totally dependent upon God and trusting in the Lord and doing what's right. Because let me tell you, anything can happen to you at any time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get in a car wreck,
right,
and everything changes. You can get a notice, everything changes. Something happens in your home, everything changes. So to live so arrogantly and to think that we can live, you know, I heard, actually, it was Leonard Raven who said, the greatest sin that anyone could ever commit, the greatest sin, is to try to live a life independent of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what, you know, America's doing, and even but some believers are doing amongst the church. It's just picking and choosing what we think that we can actually believe and implement in our lives according to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
CBN just did a segment.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a video for you about how vulnerable the power grid that we have in our country
is. Power grid is where all those wires that connect send power to our houses.
It's not the light switch, is not.
Right. Okay.
Oh, there's something else behind that.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So without the power grid, your house has no, your office has no power, your hospital has no power.
Which means no iPad, no computer, no TV, no lights, no nothing.
No right? Silicon Valley. As a matter of fact, they're going to talk about Silicon Valley that was vulnerable.
Yes. Listen to the segment and get ready.
With its maze of electric equipment, the Metcalf Transmission Substation quietly took up space in California's Santa Clara County. On April 16th last year, that all changed. Take a look at this surveillance video. You can see the muzzle flash of rifles and sparks from bullets striking the chain-link fence around the substation. For nearly 20 minutes, snipers unloaded, then vanished before police arrived. Even the shell casings left behind, the kind ejected by AK-47s, carried no fingerprints. Authorities later discovered the military-style attack blasted 17 giant transformers and 6 circuit breakers, resulting in more than $15 million in damage. Those transformers send power to an area that heavily relies on it, Silicon Valley. Former FBI agent Rick Smith, who was a part of the anti-terrorism unit, said the message is clear.
Obviously, it wasn't just a couple of guys out having a beer. There was some orchestrated attack that was planned, and it looked somewhat professional.
If you don't have any power, you obviously have disruption. And the message is that our facilities were vulnerable.
Fortunately, in the Metcalf case, electric grid officials rerouted power to prevent a blackout. Still, that did not stop John Wellinghoff, the chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission at the time, from telling the Wall Street Journal the attack was, quote, the most significant incident of domestic terrorism involving the grid that has ever occurred in the U.S. That statement unleashed a firestorm from lawmakers and security experts wondering about the vulnerability of the American power grid in the event of a physical attack and EMP or electromagnetic pulse attack.
Now that's where you would basically wipe out our electric grid and any instruments that use computer chips.
California Assemblyman Jim Patterson, vice chair of the Utilities and Commerce Committee, agrees with Wellinghoff.
What keeps me awake at night and a lot of the people who produce and distribute power in California is this whole question about whether this was isolated or whether we need to see this as the beginning of a new security risk. The big picture is, though, that this is an indication of the soft targets and the variety of targets in this new attack on America.
Rich Lorden of the Electric Power Research Institute calls the attack and its execution unprecedented.
So the feeling is this may have been preparation for an act of war.
Lorden's colleague at the Institute strongly disagrees.
I think he was off base for making that sensational kind of remark. I don't understand why he would even say that. And, you know, we've had quite a conversation since then about this.
Gelling's thoughts on the motivation behind the attack, however, don't change his concern for the security of the grid.
It's an ongoing battle to stay one step ahead of these folks who might want to do us some harm, not just physical harm to the power system, but also the cyber side.
There's a lot of ground to cover in that battle. The U.S. power grid is extensive, and from the East Coast to the West Coast, many substations are located in remote areas with minimum security. This substation in rural Northern California does have a high, thick chain-link fence with barbed wire on top, and you can see the main gate is locked. But look, I'm standing right next to the facility, and there are no security cameras or security personnel nearby. CBN News discovered the same situation in the largest city in the country.
This is the Farragut Switchyard. The electricity that comes through here powers the financial district and also much of the New York City subway system. As you can see, it's only protected by a flimsy fence and minimum security. If it's accessible to us, experts say it's also accessible to terrorists.
As horrible as 9/11 was to this nation and to the city, had the terrorists flown 2 planes into this facility, the consequences to New York City and to the nation would have been orders of magnitude more damaging than what actually happened.
I hope we never get to the point where we have to monitor this entire infrastructure, which is literally millions of miles of wire, 150,000 poles, and roughly the same number of substations. Impossible.
However, Gellings and other leaders are by no means throwing in the towel. Pacific Gas and Electric, owner of the Metcalf substation, has worked with federal and local agencies and consultants to increase security. Among other things, company leaders plan to put up opaque fencing, advanced camera systems and lighting, and more alarms.
These are things we've already done. Perform a risk assessment, evaluate the gaps we have, and then implement strategies to fill those gaps.
One strategy is increasing patrols around substations. As CBN News walked around and shot video of the Metcalf substation, it took about half an hour before we encountered inquisitive deputies with the Santa Clara County Sheriff's Department.
There's a lot more patrolling. There's a lot more public safety eyes. There's a lot more tracking and identifying of potential domestic threat with respect to that kind of chatter.
As far as the hardening of the grid itself, Gelling says the Electric Power Research Institute is literally developing a Kevlar vest to put around transformers to protect them. He says researchers are also working on devices that would sense the vibrations of people and report that movement to provide more awareness of the situation on location.
And then we want to get overall situational awareness and use such as unmanned aerial vehicles to actually look at a whole area of the power system.
The drone idea has been met with reluctance from the FAA. That's not stopping power industry leaders and others, though, from exploring options to fortify a grid, which has shown itself to be quite vulnerable. Mark Martin, CBN News, California.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'm so mad at you.
Well, this is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and if you said those kind of words, then listen to conflict resolution expert Ken Sandy. He suggests you have a little talk with yourself.
If you can develop the habit of detecting anger early on and sort of step back from it, so you know, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? Talking to yourself, bringing actually the reasoning capacity God's given to us to bear is a huge help in dealing with anger. The other common one is to find something else to do for just a little while to get your mind off of it. And when you do come back to it, it's amazing how much that the intensity of that emotional feeling will drop down, again, giving us the ability to deal with it rationally.
Take a deep breath and be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. For more trusted relationship wisdom from Ken Sandy, tune in right now to FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says Visit Our Sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com. I'm going to say, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together, so you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors, thank you to our partners, and God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio.
where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, how? That's the big question. How? How are we going to protect ourselves?
Yeah.
With all this vulnerability and all these things happening, 2%, growing the food for 98%, all these things. So how are we going to do that with our military being weak? And how are we going to do this? And you have to understand, the only reason it ever worked in the first place, this is the answer. One nation, under God.
That's it.
Undivided, which means indivisible, undivided. Mm-hmm. Think about it. And justice for all.
Mm-hmm.
That it has. We have to be... The only way America works in its original intent is with the Constitution.
Right.
With God over it. In the year of our Lord, right?
That's it.
That our rights come from our Creator. So you're just, what we're seeing when you think about all these different things, you're actually seeing how good God's been to this country.
Absolutely. Because, you know, we're talking during a break, it's not safe because America has the ability to protect herself. The only reason that this hasn't happened already, mm-hmm, is because of the mercies of God. It's given America the opportunity to repent.
Right.
It really is.
It was saying too, I mean, you know, this power grid or the power plant, not even a plant, but it's where the...
in New York?
Yeah, right there in New York, that if you hit that, the New York Stock Exchange will go out
and then it'll affect the nation and the world.
The world, because the confidence in the market drops and next thing you know, people start panicking and pulling their money out. Or Silicon Valley. You know, you hit Google and everything that's ran out of the Silicon Valley area,
right,
you know, goes down, which is probably a lot of integration even there with the New York Stock Exchange. And you think, well, this is so vulnerable. It's always been that vulnerable.
Right.
You don't know this until you've gone through some physical problems and you find out, my goodness, everything in the body has to fire off just like God designed it. If not, you know, you need help in the context of that. Mm-hmm. Well, everything in America has to fire off the way it was designed for everything to be right. And if not, we need help and we need God. And what we're seeing, all these things that we're seeing that we need God. We need to turn back to God. It was God that's kept us safe. All this stuff is wonderful because it reveals to us how good God's been to this country.
That's right.
With all of our problems, all of our, you know, good history and bad history, we kept God up there.
Yeah.
And said, this is one nation under God. That all of our rights come from him, and that we kept on trying to go back to the original intent and stay there in the original intent. And, you know, God's moved mightily, and the world's been touched because of, you know, how God has blessed America. But now we're watching all these things decline. And I think about the very beginning, you can say what you want to, but when God wants you to say what he wants you to say, you know, these words just come out in the context of that. But you think when, an oath of office was being taken. He said, I promise. What was the word to
defend?
No, it wasn't defend. To execute. I pledged to execute it. The Chief Justice messed it up. And then the president repeated to execute the office of the presidency of the United States. So he had to go back and retake it again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like a statement was being made to America saying, listen, if we don't turn back to God, God will take this thing down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a mother would say, you know, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out. If you read the Word of God, this is what God says. I brought this nation into this world, and I'll take this nation out. I tell them to stay, and they stay. I tell them to go, and they go.
Read history.
Yeah, and if I plan for them to go because they've done wrong, but if they turn around and start doing what's right, I'll let them stand.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'll stop his good plans. I mean, think about it. And we talked about earlier about understanding God as Father, and understanding that he has feelings and he has a response, and, you know, we're created in his image and likeness. He's not like us. We're like him. And we're hurting the heart of God by doing something like that, turning our hearts. So he's like, he's done all this for us, and we're going to pull his name off of everything.
Right. God has indeed blessed America. The true question is, will America bless God? I mean, at this point you have gratitude and you realize this would be a terrible thing to lose this great country. It'd be a terrible thing. To lose this great country, but it can happen, and it's on its way, lest we repent, and really, and the church as well. I mean, looking at the church, it's like, we have a lot of exposure here. We need to humble ourselves and not be sticking out any kind of chest anywhere, you know. And
statistically, you can prove that, because George Barner reports that.
Absolutely.
You know, out of regular church attenders that attend once every 2 weeks or something of that nature, he says that 81% don't even touch what God has to say. Mm. They don't even pick up a Bible at all. 81%.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the 19% who do, only 3% of those actually read it in the context, like, I care what God says and I'm going to do it. I want to make life decisions based on what God is saying, which means only 3%. Think about that. Only 3%. That's huge. And it's like, mm-hmm. I mean, we need to respond. And that's how you can know. You can know when people are not looking to what God has to say, that means they're not interested in what God has to say. And the question is to ask us as, you know, those that are calling themselves ministers for God, you know, what are we telling folks?
That's right.
What are we saying that's causing people not to be interested? What have we, you know, has our understanding become darkened? Have we fallen into sin? Have we let the enemy threaten us and say, you know, don't speak truth anymore? Are we starting to preach? Can you imagine shedding your blood over an incident and somebody says, you can talk about everything except for their sacrifice? You cannot bring up the fact. I mean, not preaching the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross and him crucified. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, guess what? Our power plants will stand. Our economy will flow. Our ground will produce great harvests out there, harvest, and souls will come in and the church will be healthy. Listen, let's turn back to God. Let's turn back to the Lord.
Oh my goodness, Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue, a taste of Southern soul on Highway 29, just 1/4 mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right-hand side. Come on in and get some. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Mark Downey & Associates is a real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to their success is simple: aggressive marketing and an intense passion for serving others. Call Mark Downey's team today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, what we have, he's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you. And it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true. And that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
So what's happening, man? Tell us, what's the Lord saying to you?
Man, some exciting stuff. Had some abiding moments, and just love when God just speaks to you in his words.
Yes.
And I am so grateful for the opportunity to abide.
Yes.
Like, man, my goodness. Well, you know, I was reading in Matthew about building on the right foundation. And there's two type of builders that are out there. And you need to find out which one you want to be.
Just because you're building don't mean you're the right.
No.
What if you are a building? Does that?
No, oh, that that doesn't work either.
Okay.
But, you know.
What if you have a big mortgage on the building? Isn't that more godly?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know about that. But you think about it, it's the implemented and practiced word of God. It's not about what you just hear, but it's what you implement and what you practice in your life that actually stands and builds foundation. It's so important because a lot of people, you can get into a place where you just even listening to us on the radio or seeing us on TV, you know, God's word is alive when you read it. It stirs your faith up, but faith is so that you can do, not so that you can just hear alone, because faith without works is dead.
Right.
You want to hear it and do something with what you hear, implement it in your life. So you can listen to 10,000 messages. You can be in revival every single day.
Oh, yes.
Seen it. Every day for years and not change your life. Because you got to put God's word into practice. And, you know, you look at folks and you see people's lives and relationships, and you see businesses, you see even, you know, different organizations, things happen. Mm-hmm. And you see destruction because nothing was built on the right foundation. And Matthew 7, this is really interesting. Matthew 7 is a parable about building, you know, wise and foolish builders. And I'll read you a verse of scripture. Verse 24 says that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Think about that. Everyone who hears these words, God's words, and puts them into practice. So it's not just hearing. It's about implementing and practicing the word of God.
You mean just showing up and hearing it again? That was, you know, that was so good.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm going to come back next week. I'm going to hear it again. I'm going to buy a CD and a download. I'm going to hear it all week. That was so good. I'm going to hear it again, right?
And again.
And again.
And again.
It makes me think about, you know, hear.
Ooh.
Voodoo. Yeah. All that stuff.
You know? Yeah. And think about it. There's never been a time in history when you look at all the different types of publications, books, videos. You can get it on demand 24 hours, 7 days a week of good Christian literature. I mean, messages, the word of God shared and preached. I mean, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But what has that produced? Do we see the fruit of that? Has it been in the deepening of anyone's, you know, life and walk? Because just like I said, it's not about reading or doing. And I love what James says in chapter 1, verse 22. Says, do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. You can listen and totally be deceived, which really underscores what we've been talking about. But do what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Do what it says. And it's interesting. And Mark Twain said, it's not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the scriptures that I do understand. You know what I'm saying? It's like, like we mentioned on the previous program, it's not that complicated.
No.
You know, God's word says this is what we do.
Right.
And this is what we don't do.
Right.
And by the grace of God, we humble ourselves and say, God, I just want to implement this word. I want this word, because God's word is living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. I want to implement it in my life. I want to see this walk out. And let me tell you, just live a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Storms will come. There's something about storms, you know. Just live a little bit. You have relationship storms.
Right.
You have economic storms. Mm-hmm. You have all kind of physical storms.
Right.
And you really don't know what you've been building on until the storm comes.
Right. Tested by the fire, right? Everything will be tested by the fire.
And it's better to have one brick on a right foundation.
Yes.
Then have a stucco facade, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing against stucco.
I've seen some nice stucco out there. Yeah. Nothing against stucco. But built on sand.
Right.
Because these things will happen. I mean, Jesus said, in this life, you will have troubles.
That's right.
But cheer up, because I've overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, there's never been a greater time than today than to begin making Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you do that, you abide, you spend time with him, you read his word because you want to know what the lover of your heart has to say.
Right.
And you want to see how you can implement it and practice it in your life.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. You can hear everything, but unless you put what you hear into practice, it's not going to produce anything. The seed has to go down into your heart, and you have to make room for God.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the words of Jesus when he said, if you follow my teachings, then you're really...
That's a big word.
My disciple.
Right.
And then really, it's like, that means a not really people. Mm-hmm. Not really folks. Even think about it, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're, and it's like building, isn't it? If I actually know his teaching and follow it, I'm building on him, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
And you can build a lot of things, but it will be tested and it will be tried.
How many folks are literally building a wing onto a building and they're thinking, if we just build this other room on, if we just build physically, while inside they're dying, while inside they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or they know him at a distance and they're like, everything's falling apart and the storm's going to hit you whether you're prepared or not.
Let me tell you something. This is a clue. If you're saying to yourself, if I've missed one gathering, I've missed a lot, I haven't heard from God, that's a clue,
right?
Because if your ability to connect with God happens one day a week at a specific place and a specific time, that's a clue that you're in trouble.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a clue to recognize, hey, I can meet with God every single day of my life.
Right.
And I love abiding. I just love God's word. It's nothing like the word of God. You know, I think he has this thing down. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think he has it down. And
you talk about how sharp it is, and it's a double-edged sword, but it even penetrates our thought life.
Mm.
It lets you know that this is the right thought or wrong thought. And it's like, if we don't have God's word, we're building, but we're maybe building on a false foundation because we're not building. We didn't allow his word to come into our hearts and minds to help us understand that the rock is Jesus, and building on the rock that you'll stand. And everything's going to be sprinkled with fire, the salt of the fire. Everything's going to be tested.
That's a sad, sad day. And we've been across many tables and many meetings only to find people to find out at that moment that all their life they've been building on something that just was not stable. And it's just, and you know what? You can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by saying, you know what? I'm going to find out what I've been building. I'm going to do an inspection, a building inspection, and evaluate where is the truth and the word of God in what I am giving my life to and establishing and pouring over, and scrap it. It's okay to start again.
What makes me think of Zig Ziglar, you know, in the last parts of his life, and he's gone to be the Lord now. And he said, I no longer schedule my life based on time. I schedule it based on energy.
Mm.
And when you really get focused and you want to make a difference in God and you want to do what he's asking of you to do and what he's leading you to do, it's going to require energy. And the enemy will take a person who has good intentions, who's living their life for God and wants to do the best they can for God in view of his mercy and because of his grace, and give you a whole bunch of things that could be defined as hay, wood, and stubble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, man, look at that hay. Yeah, hay. You know what I'm saying? Look at the stubble, and you're just so busy. But when the fire comes, that's just going to be burned up, and the only thing you have left is what you built upon Jesus. And so, you know, we began to pray early on, because of how much energy it takes in this limited thing called a vapor to give it all to God. And he's like, I don't want to waste any energy. You know, forget about time, because everybody's got 24 hours. The question is, what are you doing with the energy you had in that time?
For real.
And so he prayed, dear God, you know, take away the hay, wood, and stubble now. Mm-hmm. Take it away now. Whatever it is, take it away now. We were surprised. Whoa. Okay. Hey.
Oh, that too.
The guy would duck down. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. You know, it's like, that's hay, that's wood, that's stubble. I mean, think about it.
That's right.
And it's like, but the energy, everything that you're focusing your energy on is producing something. Mm-hmm. And so, so when you think about that, yeah, you're building. So building is finding out, making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, but then finding out how he says to live our life and how he empowers us to do that through the empowerment, what he finished work on the cross. But then out of that compelling love to say, you know what, I'm going to begin to walk this thing out.
It's a love letter. You know, God's word is a love letter to you. And don't you want to know what the lover of your heart, the lover of your soul has to say?
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, Proverbs says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways.
Yeah, what a concept.
What a concept. You know, we should always be living with an awareness of, you know, God, where am I today? You know, reveal yourself to me. That's why it's also important to have these quality relationships in your life with other people that are going after God. The Word of God says that as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. And we need to find out if our knives are still sharp or have we become dull.
Mm.
And one of the ways we know that is, are we spending the time with God? And what does that mean? I'm not saying in a religious, you know, schedule God in and I got to read two verses and okay, check the mark off. But it's really, what's your most important meeting of the day? You're going to expend, you know, a certain amount of hours and energy at work, in relationships, communication, talking, emails, Facebook, 45 minutes a day, by the way, to study. Where are you going to give your most important energy? What's your most important meeting of the day?
Right. And you know, thinking, planning that moment out, it makes me think about, you know, this is a profound statement because if you really soak on this, it'll change your life. But a lack of planning on your behalf does not dictate an emergency on my behalf. And so often you could be living your life and paying attention to the season that's passing so quickly so you could do everything for God, while you have other people that fly by the seat of their pants, who don't get in God's word, who don't spend time in prayer and trying to follow God in that way. And they're constantly in a storm. They're constantly in a fire. Mm-hmm. Things are falling apart. And all of a sudden they bring their storm to you and they look at you and it's like, you know, how come you don't see this as an emergency? It's like, that's just a lack of planning. You just did not think it through.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You didn't think it through. And you can listen, but you can begin today that you can even be cheerful in storms if you actually build on the rock, build on Jesus Christ, because these storms will come. And he talks specifically not too well about those who don't build on the rock. It's like building on the sand. Everything you're building is building on the sand. And we're practicing. It's practicing the word of God, those that practice what the Lord says, which is pretty good because doctors, by the way, just because you don't know this, they practice medicine. They look at you confidently.
Mm-hmm.
They speak their doubt and disclaimers in small print. But the truth is that they actually practice medicine, and they may get it right and they may get it wrong. And sad to say, right now in America, the ones that get it wrong, I've noticed that they don't tell you to get it wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But because they're practicing medicine, they're not God, and they're doing their best, hopefully, you know. And with that, you're looking, he wants us to practice the things of God in view of his mercy and because of his grace. And that's somebody who's building on the rock, right?
That's right. I mean, you want to practice the word of God, practice on love.
That's right.
That's building a right relationship in love.
Mm-hmm.
You want to practice your, you know, right relationship with God and with others in business. You want to read wisdom. Proverbs is full of wisdom on implementing God's knowledge and truth into your everyday life. Right. But if we don't do that, I mean, even James continues to say that anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely useless. Why look in the mirror if you're going to forget what you look like?
Right.
It's about listening and activating God's word in your life. Laying down a foundation that remains.
And blessed in all you do.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Understand this. If you don't abide with the Lord, now is a time. Of all the times and all the history of this nation, now is the time to begin to abide.
No doubt.
While you have time. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. I abide the order. It's a simple plan. I mean, you can do it with a crayon and a piece of paper, but you need to believe me, because any kind of hireling you might have been following is going to panic and run. He says, this is what Jesus said. When they see trouble, they panic and run because they never cared about the sheep in the first place. And if they don't know your name, you know what I'm saying? If they don't, if they, you haven't, you know, if y'all don't know each other, it may be the fact they don't not care about you. They don't even know who you are. You know? You need to get someone who knows your name and get close. And that normally happens in the context of a smaller gathering. So if you're in a large gathering of believers, I encourage you, you know, start, in addition to that, you know, get in together in like a home group or something, or a small gathering, a coffee shop, and build vital relationships with a few other believers. And you can fundamentally transform who you are. And even that large gathering where there's everybody's in smaller groups. Because I remember in New Orleans, you know, when Hurricane Katrina hit, that these large gatherings scattered everywhere and nobody knew anybody. You know what I'm saying? The database has gone. It's wet.
Right.
You know, the computer don't work. They're in Houston. They're in Louisiana. They're in Mississippi. We were taking people in Pensacola. And this is what our friend said, Leo DeJesus, who lives right across the Mississippi there from New Orleans. He has an office that looks right over the Mississippi at the Superdome.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's cool.
He saw some stuff. No, actually, that got built after Katrina. And although he did live there, but that kind of went away because it's south of the river. But he said that when the hurricane hit, it scattered the church all over New Orleans. And she's still scattered today. She's still scattered today. And that's what happens because, see, if you had shepherds, you may be scattered, but eventually your shepherd is going to find you because they know you. Mm-hmm. They know who you are. I mean, unless you're avoiding and running and eluding them, you're going to find each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but he says they're still scattered today. And I'll give a big shout out to Leo Jesus and Sandy. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Sister Sandy and Brother Leo.
Yeah.
Great, great couple. She's like, get in here. How did you know that? And we met her. She was working in a flower pot. And literally. And Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots is a real good book to be able to get from Charles Simpson to begin to really think about this. Listen, it is time to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. This present day situation is being fundamentally transformed. And I really believe it already has been. Now it's just a matter of flipping a few switches to be able to take it there. And but the church will survive if we understand how we're to operate. And if we need a manual, we got one. It's called the Bible.
Right.
It's the Bible, and it's called, we call it abiding with God, which is spending time with him, hiding his word in our heart, talking to God, listening to what he says, and just doing it.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, we're talking about, in this part of the program, about a... this moderate, the concept of moderate, being moderate, period. But this particular reporter is talking about moderate Islam as an oxymoron. I mean, think about that. Ibrahim, he's actually talking about on this video you're about to see from CBN about how it's just an oxymoron. And it really is. It's very serious to understand that it really is. And it makes... just common sense when you think about it. And it just contradicts the reality. In other words, it doesn't exist in the context of a true believer in Islam who believes the full that Muhammad is truly the prophet from their God that brings down, you know, you either believe him or you don't. In regards to talking to, you know, John Stenberger and the Florida's attorney in Florida and with his organization that, you know, we were talking to him, and I was, you know, asking all these questions. I love to ask these kind of questions to people who love the Lord, and they're trying to see how this thing can all work out. And because the conflicts that are taking place, and they want to build a tower, for example, Islam wants to build a tower where 9/11, a place like
a mosque.
You know, why would you want to build a mosque? Right? I mean, why even bring that up right now? because it's significant. It means something. But the whole thing is that, you know, in regards to what Ibrahim's talking about here, that it's an oxymoron. But I was talking to John Stenberger about that, and John was explaining things. And I said, so he says that the hope for America to work as it is to have moderates, you know, moderate Muslims and moderate Christians. And you have to understand, this Jesus calls a moderate Christian a lukewarm Christian, right? And that's Revelation, right. What's the scripture say, Revelation?
Revelation 3:16, and it says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth.
So think about that. I mean, moderate in God is not something you want to be.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, you don't want to be moderate. Idea. Is like, you know, you're not hot and you're not cold. You got a little bit, half of the world in you and half of God's things inside of you.
I'm moderately in love with you.
I'm moderate.
Not
right,
all the way,
right.
You know.
Mm. You go home and try that today.
Try that with your
try
wife.
That.
Yeah, right.
Your spouse.
Or your spouse and all. And so listen to this, what he's talking about. I think it's just so timely because we have to understand. And of course, if that's what they believe, you know, that's what you believe.
Right.
But to say that being moderate is the hope, it's like, because what he's talking about here is so important is because a moderate cannot contradict an extremist who extremely believes fully what the Quran says, because mm-hmm. they would be coming against their own. And so you don't see a moderate stand up and come against a full believer,
sure.
a hot believer in the Quran, because they know they were coming against the very Quran that they say that they believe. As a matter of fact, listen up right now to Ibrahim as he's talking about this.
Is there really such a thing as moderate Islam, or is it just a popular idea in the secular world? CBN News contributor and blogger Raymond Ibrahim says using terms like moderate Islam is an oxymoron. And Raymond joins us now to discuss his latest blog. Raymond, always good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me back, Wendy.
Well, you say that the worlds of mainstream media, education, and government are teaching us there isn't really anything bad about Islam. It's just the radicals.
Right. And that's the problem right there. We all take for granted the meaning of these two words, radical and moderate, or extremist and moderate. And it's kind of like an assumption that we all have. But what do they really mean? If you look at those words, extreme just means to take something to an extreme level, and moderate means not to. But when it comes to Islam, the law is the law, or what's known as Sharia. And if you look at the law, so if, for example, Sharia, Islamic law, teaches that the born Muslim cannot leave his religion and become an apostate, for example, by converting to Christianity. If a Muslim comes and kills another Muslim because the other Muslim converted to Christianity, how are these actions considered extreme? They're considered extreme from our mentality because of the sort of, you know, human rights and secularism and freedom of religion and this and that. But in the Islamic paradigm, they're not extreme. He's just fulfilling the law.
Are moderate Islamists, as termed today, really following the commands of Allah found in the Quran?
If you look at the Quran, and again, Islamic teaching and Islamic Sharia, jihad, for example, is a big component. It's always there. According to some Islamic sects, it's one of the pillars of Islam. But amongst others, it's not a pillar, but it's definitely a big duty. Now, if a Muslim renounces jihad, is he being a moderate, or is he just not being a Muslim? And you have to keep in mind, the word Muslim and Islam or Islam, Islam simply means submit. Submit to what? To Allah's teaching. So a Muslim is one who submits. Okay, so if I reject jihad, if I reject, for example, the apostasy rule to kill an apostate because he left Islam, am I submitting to the teachings of Islam? Am I being a Muslim? Am I being a moderate? Which in this sense really means not being much of a Muslim at all.
Raymond, from an evangelistic point of view, how should Christians navigate these complicated things with Muslims?
First thing is to come to grips with what we're talking about right here, this idea of, you know, moderate Islam as an oxymoron. For example, remember the Kenyan Mall massacre, where I think some 60 or 70 people were killed by Islamic jihadis. A Kenyan well-known mosque leader just came out recently, and he said exactly what we're talking about. He said, first of all, that what those jihadis did is 100% accurate, according to Islamic teaching, according to the Quran and the example of the Prophet. And then he went on and said, there is no radical Islam, there is no extreme Islam. These are concepts made up by non-Muslim infidels, us. and there's only Islam. You either do the teachings or not. And he said what they did, which is a deplorable thing, an atrocity, massacre by any Western standard, killing women and children in cold blood just because they're infidels and so forth, that that accords 100% with Islam. And so I think the important thing for Western Christians is just to start, you know, re-educating themselves in reality and what Islam is and what Islam teaches.
All right, Raymond, thanks so much for your time. And Raymond's full blog, Ibrahim, Islam Unveiled, is on our website, cbnnews.com.
That's so important to understand. It's, you know, they couldn't say it any better. But think about it, even in, in Islam, meaning the word Islam means submission. So to say that you're a moderate Muslim means I moderately submit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Which they would say... You're not even Muslim at all.
Right. I mean, it's just like telling your boss, you're like, they lay the rules out. He or she lays the rule out. I said, well, I'm going to moderately obey those rules.
Right.
Right. And so as you're looking for new work, you're going to be able to understand the expectation was for you to actually fully follow that. And it's just an expectation, just standard. Well, understanding what Sharia law is, which is the Quran is the law. And that's how, you know, somebody who is loyal to Islam would see it. That's why it's so difficult for them to come up and say, the big question is in America, truly, if you're an loyal American, wouldn't you stand up and say, but that's not right no matter what it is? And it's like, but I can't because it's written in the Quran.
Right.
They actually just believed fully in what the Quran said. Now, this is the question. As Christians, what do we do? What do we believe? And we need to get in and say, you know what? I need to get into the Word of God and find I want to be not a moderate Christian. I want to be loyal to Jesus Christ, which is a lover of man's soul. Out of all the gods out there, and there is no God besides God, whose son is Jesus Christ, this is the truth. God loved you so much that he gave his son. He laid down his life for you. He died for you, that you can have a relationship with him. He's the only God that laid down his life to show you how much he loves you. And his Father brought him up from the grave, raised him from the dead. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father to let you know you can be truly in the family of God through the Messiah, through Jesus Christ today. Find out more at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.